Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce the President of the American Farm Bureau Federation for his annual address. Bob Stallman has shown a lifelong commitment to agriculture and Farm Bureau. He is a rice and cattle producer from Columbus, Texas, and is serving his sixth term as president of our organization. Prior to his election, he served as president of the Texas Farm Bureau. His Farm Bureau career started at the county level, where he served in all of the officer positions. Bob is a member of the St. Paul's Lutheran Church, in Columbus, Texas, and is married to Stacy Lynn Bryan. He has two daughters and eight grandchildren. In fact, number eight just joined the Klan about a month ago. Please help me welcome our president, Bob Stallman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, Barry. Aloha. Okay, you've had enough practice. Let's do it right. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right, much better. Farm Bureau members, distinguished supporters, and honored guests, welcome to the American Farm Bureau Federation's 93rd annual meeting. In addition to the work we accomplish here on Oahu, we look forward to exploring this paradise, learning more about Hawaiian agriculture, and sharing in a few of the local traditions. One tradition in particular that is especially appealing to me, the Hawaiian Luau. I hope many of you will be attending the Foundation for Agriculture's Luau Monday evening at the Polynesian Cultural Center. In some ways, the Hawaiian Luau is similar to some of the get-togethers that we have back on the mainland. Anytime you cook a pig in a pit for 10 to 12 hours, it's just hard to go wrong. But the Luau goes beyond the tradition of most mainland celebrations. The Luau is a cultural gathering with a royal heritage. In addition to the vast array of delicious food, there are flaming torch twirlers, warriors with fire swords, great Hawaiian music, and hula dancers. In short, a great experience. Well, before I dig too deep a hole for myself talking about hula dancers, I need to introduce someone very special to me. As they say in Hawaii, my wahine, my lovely wife, Stacy Bryan. Thank you for sharing my passion for agriculture and for Farm Bureau. Stacy, would you please stand? Farm Bureau members, this sliver of time in which we farm and live is simply amazing. Today, thanks to our 24/7 connection to information, news, and social media, it is easier than ever to stay plugged in to what is happening in the world. How easy? Well, we know that a combination of GPS and auto-steer technology makes it possible to stay connected while actually working in the fields. And while I'm not going to mention any names, I know that some of you even tweet from the tractor seat. Regardless of how you stay connected, when you scan the news headlines these days, you're likely to read about a new spirit of activism sweeping our nation. You will read about this movement and that movement, all seeking to create great waves of change. To be effective over the long haul, movements must be based on more than just the emotion of the moment. They must be fed by substance. Movements that have staying power are built on a foundation that is tangible, something you can grasp with a pair of leather work gloves, something you can live, eat, and breathe. This hits home for me, as it likely does for you. The reason is simple. We live, eat, and breathe agriculture, and our movement is the Farm Bureau movement. Just last month, I traveled to Binghamton, New York, where in 1911, the Chamber of Commerce formed a bureau to reach out to farmers in surrounding Broome County. From those humble beginnings arose our Farm Bureau movement. Other counties and states joined in, and eventually in 1919, the American Farm Bureau Federation took shape. For 93 years and counting, we have come together to advocate on behalf of farmers and ranchers. Now that is staying power. But our movement is a bit different from some of the others that you read about today. Across our land, Farm Bureau members are occupying the farm fields, the pastures, the livestock barns. We are occupying the orchards and the vineyards. We are occupying the combine, and yes, even the saddle. Ours is an occupation of production. I suspect you have heard about the 1% versus the 99% in terms of economic well-being. I don't know much about that, but I do know that we are the 1% that is producing food and fiber for the other 99%, and our success makes everything else in our great nation possible, including the pitching of tents and the shouting of protest slogans. To quote one of those off-shouted slogans, the whole world is watching. And it is. And the world knows that America's family-based system of agriculture holds the key to a sustainable planet. Whether growing crops or raising livestock, whether big or small, organic or conventional, dry land or irrigated, farm and ranch families are growing more food, fiber, and renewable fuel crops with fewer resources than ever before. U.S. agricultural productivity has increased by nearly 50% since 1982. Over a 20-year period, corn yields are up 41%. Soil loss has fallen by 70% per bushel, water use by 27%, and all major crops show similar trends. But that's not all. America's agriculture sector provides a solid economic foundation for our nation that is the envy of the world. In spite of the devastating effects of drought, storms, and floods affecting farmers and ranchers in some parts of the country, U.S. agriculture is in good shape. Net farm income and net cash income surpassed $100 billion for the first time in 2011. USDA's Outlook for U.S. Agriculture Trade, released late last year, said that for 2012, agricultural exports are projected to be $137 billion, roughly the same as for 2011. That translates into 1.2 million American jobs. We sold $42.5 billion more in agricultural products than we imported in 2011. That number will stay strong into this year, and I'm convinced into the foreseeable future. And we're selling more of just about everything we raise, not just corn, soybeans, and wheat, but also dairy products, meats, fruits and vegetables, nuts, and horticultural products. American agriculture is making our nation stronger, one field, one greenhouse, and one livestock farm at a time. And yet our nation faces a huge challenge. We've been aware of the approaching fiscal crisis for years. We've reached the point where just about everything taking place or not taking place in Washington today is tied directly to fiscal issues, such as the budget deficit and the national debt. There are questions being raised on the campaign trail about this country as an entitlement society versus an opportunity society. As citizens and as members of an organization promoting policy positions in the interests of farmers and ranchers, we should help provide answers to those questions. And we will do that with the positions that we take when we approve policy in our business session on Tuesday. We know that our nation's tight budget constraints will likely dictate how much of a role the government will play in providing a safety net for farmers and ranchers. You know that the business of farming has always been risky. It always will be. But we firmly believe farmers possess the skills to navigate the typical ups and downs of our business cycles. There have been several recent proposals for program crops, with payments that kick in and out of a narrow band of support for some crops and set up higher target prices for others. As an alternative, we forwarded to Congress a plan to establish a systemic risk reduction program. Agricultural programs are intended to help farmers deal with big challenges they cannot handle alone, as opposed to providing guarantees against small reductions in annual revenue. This program is unique in that it will help protect America's farmers from losses that truly endanger the very core of their farms, like catastrophic revenue losses. It recognizes today's new budget realities. It is also unique in that it can be applied to a broader range of commodities, like fruits and vegetables. After the breakdown of the supercommittee process in November, the Farm Bill debate is reverting to a normal pattern now. That gives Farm Bureau delegates a lot to talk about during our business session later this week. To you, our delegates, I make one request. Have an open and spirited debate, but put this organization on a solid Farm Bill footing. Give us clear direction. Do what makes the most sense for the whole of American agriculture. Give our farm and ranch families the support they need most in light of the fiscal condition of our nation. And once all is said and done, let's agree to get behind our policy and ride for the brand. Farm Bureau must lead this discussion. While agriculture is a bright spot in the economy, the overall jobs picture is daunting. One reason is the incredible regulatory burden facing each man, woman, and child. According to information released by the Small Business Administration, one of every $3 earned by Americans goes to pay for or comply with federal laws and regulations. Of course, the costs are not shared evenly. They fall hard on the backs of small businesses, like our family-owned farms and ranches. I think we can all agree that some regulations are essential to a properly functioning society. For instance, a red light can certainly be helpful when trying to figure out who's next to go through a busy intersection. But the regulations that impact our lives on the farm and ranch surround our every action, from tending our crops to managing our land. You know, if I were developing a reality TV show along the lines of Survivor, I'd have government regulators try to farm under the growing web of restrictions that farmers and ranchers face. And I'd have a farmer there as an MC just to keep them honest. And before long, they would find out they couldn't do half the things they thought they could and ought to be able to do. And when they discovered their decisions were not successful, it would be off to the paperwork penalty box. The winner, if one emerged, would be awarded a machinery bill, a margin call, and a mortgage. I'm not sure how anyone could cast aspersions on farmers and ranchers for seeking regulatory certainty. That is especially true when rules are written in a way that often encourages lawsuits, even while regulators say that they have no plans to target agriculture. How have those bureaucratic promises worked out for you in the past? Even if there is the slightest possibility of new expensive regulations, we cannot sit idly by as a dust devil of regulatory uncertainty overtakes us. And we have not. In December, with our urging, the House passed H.R. 1633, the Farm Dust Regulation Prevention Act. Dust is a fact of life in rural America, from the roads we drive to the work we do to bring in the harvest. The amount of dust we encounter depends largely on the amount of rain that we receive and whether the wind is blowing. If the EPA could figure out a way to regulate Mother Nature and give us all our fair share of rain, I know a lot of drought-stricken farmers in Texas who'd go along with it in a heartbeat. When regulations go too far, we fight them in the courts. Such was the case last year when we announced our legal challenge to EPA water regulations. The EPA so-called pollution diet threatens to starve agriculture out of the 64,000 square mile Chesapeake Bay watershed. While our primary concern is farmers in the Bay region, we know this approach, if left in place, will be coming to a watershed near you. We all want a clean and healthy Chesapeake Bay. In fact, farmers in that watershed are taking real, on-the-ground actions every day to improve water quality. And that stewardship will continue regardless of what happens with this lawsuit. But we must make sure any rule that would deal a crippling blow to agriculture across an entire region is legal, necessary, and based on real data, not on some computer model with more flaws than a blind sale barn mule. This lawsuit is currently making its way through the federal court in Pennsylvania, and we're confident that the court will send this rule back to EPA. And EPA is not alone in efforts to cook up a harsh regulatory agenda. Proposed youth labor rules from the Department of Labor threaten to turn everything we know about the lessons of growing up on a farm or ranch completely upside down. Our farms are family-based businesses. As such, we have encouraged DOL to maintain the integrity of the family farm labor exemption that has been in the law for generations, and to be sure that exemption extends to family farms that are organized as something other than a sole proprietorship, as many are today. We know there are jobs in agriculture that are dangerous and not appropriate for our younger family members to undertake. Safety is always our concern. But many traditional summer jobs that teach kids responsibility and instill a good work ethic could become off limits. It also could strip our ability to give our kids a hands-on ag education and an appreciation for agriculture. Teenagers working in hay crews are picking orchard crops, mowing lawns, and whacking weeds, or even fixing fence with a handheld power tool. All could be a thing of the past. Ask any farmer how he or she learned to do farm work correctly and safely, and you're likely to hear that they grew up working hand in hand alongside a caring and cautious parent, grandparent, aunt, or uncle. I know I grew up learning many valuable lessons about hard work from my father. They were not all jobs I wanted to do. In particular, those that included shoveling mud in a rice field and stacking hay bales in 100-degree heat, or since I was the big kid, always having to catch and put the biggest calves on the ground. Little did my dad know at the time, but when he put me on the handle of a shovel, moving manure out of the barn, he was teaching me a valuable skill that comes in very handy these days in Washington, D.C. Well, in all seriousness, it does pay to speak out. Farm Bureau members can have a real impact on issues, and you clearly demonstrated that in 2011. As you know, after 4 long years of debate and delay by our government, President Obama in October signed bilateral free trade agreements between the United States and the nations of Korea, Colombia, and Panama. Once these trade deals are implemented, it will mean an estimated $2.5 billion boost in U.S. agricultural exports. We also estimate that once in place, those 3 trade agreements will create more than 22,500 new jobs. As these trade deals were making their way to final approval, the force of your combined voices in support of passage made a huge difference, and thank you for a job well done. As another example of the strength of our numbers, the Transportation Department last year pulled back a proposal that would have made farmers hauling their crops to market subject to the same rules faced by long-haul truckers. DOT dropped the idea after receiving thousands of letters and emails from Farm Bureau members just like you. It's impossible to ignore a mobilized group of grassroots farm leaders. You see what needs to be done, you involve others around you, and together we get the job done. From the environment to the economy, trade, and jobs, we have a great story to tell. And having positive things to say these days is ever so important as we engage in a very public conversation about the roles we play as farm and ranch families in the raising and growing of our national food supply. We no longer see our successes primarily in Congress or the courtroom. We must engage directly with the consumer as an industry in ways that we haven't before. And while we must fully engage in this ongoing national dialogue about food and the devoted care that we take when we grow it, we must never, ever forget to listen. Our words are credible because our track record of constant improvement is provable. But only by both listening and sharing will we fully connect with the values of the consumers that we serve. We have been guilty, I have been guilty, too often in the past of telling consumers what we think they need to hear, as opposed to listening and answering their questions openly and honestly. Well, that is changing, it's time, and we are doing better. And as we change, it will diminish the opportunity for some to divide our society on the basis of how we raise and grow food. I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to sense a growing impatience with efforts to divide rather than unify our nation. People are getting weary of it. In this ongoing political campaign season, the talking heads have come up with another cute device to split voters. The Cracker Barrel Whole Foods divide. The idea being that Cracker Barrel is more red state and rural conservative, and Whole Foods is more blue state and liberal elite. I would suggest that the common factor in this very artificial device is food. Folks, maybe, just maybe, we as the producers of food in this country can play a role to help unite instead of divide. It's about time to put all else aside and for all of us to stand up as Americans first. The U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance is doing just that, and it has changed the spirit of American agriculture. The Alliance is a growing group of 77 agricultural organizations and companies unifying agriculture for a big picture effort to engage with American consumers about food. Our goal is to listen to and answer Americans' questions about food production, and to give farmers and ranchers of all shapes, sizes, and philosophies an opportunity to raise their voices. Have you had enough of folks outside of agriculture telling consumers how their food is produced? Last fall, the Alliance held a nationwide town hall broadcast called the Food Dialogues to open a two-way conversation with consumers. We are taking our message of engagement to the airwaves, and we are taking consumer research to the next level. Our big table approach is open to anyone who cares about the future of food, including all types of farmers, and even people we know who will not agree with us. As more Americans join us to ask questions about where their food comes from and about the people who grow it, we emphasize the transparency of this conversation. There are no secrets. We want consumers to have more rather than less information so they can make choices that are right for them and healthy for their families. I'm proud to say that farm bureaus in 20 states have signed on as Alliance partners, as well as our own Women's Leadership Committee and Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. All Farm Bureau members are invited to join the Alliance in this food dialogue. Help us directly answer the questions consumers have and share examples of your commitment to continuous improvement at the Alliance website, fooddialogues.com. Clearly, the topics we talk about with consumers today are not the same ones that we talked about 20, 10, or even 5 years ago. Our world is rapidly changing, as is American agriculture. Your Farm Bureau organization must also plan to meet the challenges and opportunities of this changing world. That is why the American Farm Bureau Federation is undertaking an effort called the Centennial Development Project to ensure our health and effectiveness for the next 100 years. Launched in December, all state presidents have received a comprehensive study to identify important trends related to American agriculture, modern organizations, and how everything fits together in our time-challenged and rapidly changing American society. We are looking into the mindset of today's consumers. We are studying the revolutionary changes that have occurred in how we communicate with one another. We're looking at strategies, tactics, and tools to help us better serve you. There will be change because we need to change to remain successful. A few basic principles will not change. One is our steadfast commitment to Farm Bureau's grassroots members, our rural communities, and our industry. Another is our focus on doing together the things that we cannot accomplish alone. The value of that has been proved over and over. But we will find some new tools that improve our process. We may find a better way to organize for effectiveness, a better way to acquire resources, or maybe we could find some innovations in the way Farm Bureau is governed. The Centennial Development Project is a 2-year process, and it is all about finding ways to make Farm Bureau an even stronger organization. We will also be counting on your involvement and commitment as we look to our next 100 years of success. Just like these Hawaiian islands were first unified under King Kamehameha, Farm Bureau is built on the premise of many voices coming together as one. In his final message for the people of Hawaii, King Kamehameha set the tone for the future in words filled with purpose. Prevail and continue my just deeds. They are not yet finished. As applied to Farm Bureau, those words recall for us the farmers and ranchers who came before and challenge us to continue this movement for a second 100 years of excellence. Our organization is strong today, and with your vision and leadership, we'll be even more vibrant tomorrow. Together, we will navigate the waves of change. Our movement, the Farm Bureau movement, is marching on. God bless you, God bless Farm Bureau, and God bless America.
Thank you.